A man arrested after a standoff with police, the Voice to Parliament referendum question posed, and World Athletics bans trans athletes. It's Friday, the 24th of March.
The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
G'day, Matty.
G'day, mate. Crack open your Jack Daniels. We've made it for Friday.
Exactly. Or get your Jack Daniels themed chew toy for anybody who listened to the show yesterday. And now let's kick off with this dramatic standoff with police at Harrison Island.
Yeah. So a 23-year-old Baldivis man has now been charged after this police chase turned into a siege on Harrison Island, which is just near the CBD. Police say just after 7 last night, they spotted a Mitsubishi Triton ute being driven in a reckless way in East Perth. Officers say the driver failed to stop. They followed him to Harrison Island and he stopped there. That's when he made threats indicating he had a gun. So police, including the TRG, swarmed the area. After some tense negotiations, the man was taken into custody. Officers say they did not find a firearm on the man or in the ute. And the 23-year-old has now been charged with reckless driving and failing to stop. He's due to face court today.
Well, we'll wait and see what motivated that bizarre behaviour. And now West Aussies helped Telethon raise another record total in 2022, and now we know how that money will be spent.
Yes, 107. That's how many organisations, charities and good causes will benefit from that generosity of West Aussies who donated and raised a record $71.4 million, which was almost $10 million more than the previous year. So the money raised will fund more than 50 medical research projects, almost 130 programs and critical services, and almost 550 pieces of vital equipment. And you can find out more about the Telethon beneficiaries in a special edition of the West Australian today, which features some artwork by WA Kids showing what kindness means to them. It looks fantastic, the front page today, really beautiful touch.
Yeah, it's so awesome. So many people work so hard on Telethon to make it happen and to get those incredible results. And now to see where the money's being spent, I think is just so awesome. The amount of good that it does in the WA community, and not just that, but beyond WA in terms of research that's done that helps kids around the world, such a special thing. And it's not too early to start thinking about Telethon that's coming up later this year. I'm sure we'll talk plenty about that when the time comes. Just as we will the Voice to Parliament, which has been on the agenda since Anthony Albanese was swept into government. And after months of anticipation and political debate, the government has finally revealed the proposed question for the referendum and constitutional alteration, which is going to be the first referendum Australia has voted on in 24 years. Albo spoke last night. He got pretty choked up. Let's take a listen.
To not put this to a vote is to concede defeat. You only win when you run on the field and engage. And let me tell you, my government is engaged. We're all in.
All in, Albo says, and Aussies will get a chance to be all in on the Indigenous voice when they get a ballot at some point this year, probably in the last couple of months of the year, with the following words on it. It'll say, a proposed law to alter the Constitution to recognise the First Peoples of Australia by establishing an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander voice. Do you approve this proposed alteration? And so, Maddie, what's your understanding of where this goes now? Have you been following this very closely?
I've been following it, and I've been very interested in what the question will be. There's been a lot of discussion about we need more detail, we need, to know exactly what this means. And now we can drill down into the detail. I think the good thing here, and what can sometimes happen with referendums, is that the question's just too complicated. Yes. We get lost in the detail. This is a very simple question that people are being asked. We're being asked to recognise the First Peoples of Australia. That's what we're being asked to do. Now, it's not hard to go, yes, those people should be recognised in our constitution. By not recognising them, it's almost as if they don't exist.
Yeah, exactly.
Which just can't be right.
Yep. And now, from this point now, the details of this referendum question will go through a process of going through parliamentary debate. That's probably going to be pretty straightforward. And then a committee inquiry, and then, of course, a campaign with people acting on either side of the debate, which is, you know, I'd love to say that it's going to be all smooth sailing, but pretty sure it's going to get pretty grubby. And then the exact format and membership of that committee will be announced in the coming months. Asked last night if the proposed wording was final, Albanese said, of course, it can be altered through the committee process, although he said he would take a lot of convincing before he would support any amendment. If you're wondering what the other political parties are feeling about it, the Nationals remain a firm no on the issue of an Indigenous voice. So that's something that they're going to have to reckon with in terms of where they stand in history. And then there's still a question mark over the Liberal Party. On Thursday, the Liberal leader, Peter Dutton, resisted declaring a position on The Voice. He's again requesting more detail, which I think is going to be a refrain that's pretty common amongst the no camp.
Well, I think asking for more detail is just, you know, playing politics with the situation, really. That's what it is. It's trying to catch those people who are like, yeah, I don't have enough detail. Well, is it they don't have enough detail because it's not, you know, it's not out there? Or is it they don't have enough detail because they haven't gone looking for it or done a quick Google search, you know, The Voice question, The Voice changed the constitution and gone and found out about it? I think the upsetting thing in these situations, and we saw it with the same-sex marriage vote, which obviously wasn't a, you know, referendum as such in style like this is, but it's minorities who are being sort of hung out to dry in a way, and politics is being played at their expense.
Yep, exactly. And talking about playing politics, we got a great example of that in Congress overnight when the TikTok CEO, Xu Chu, was grilled by lawmakers who expressed deep skepticism about his company's attempts to protect US user data and ease concerns about its ties to the Chinese Communist Party. He was dragged before this congressional committee, ostensibly to give testimony about what the app does. But, you know, it went for 5 hours and it was, to be honest with you, a bit more of a witch hunt than anything else. It began when one of the congressional representatives said, your app should be banned in the US. So, you know, if that's how they start, you can get a sense of where it went from there. Yeah, it did look a lot like they had already made up their mind. And it was a rare show of bipartisanship in American politics. Both sides of politics were pretty united in absolutely tearing into the TikTok CEO. He said for the company's part that it's not available in mainland China. They're headquartered in Los Angeles and Singapore. They have 7,000 employees in America today, and they don't collect any more information than any of the other big tech companies. And so he was saying, you know, like this is not really our problem. Like, we're not any different to anybody else. But none of the congressional representatives were really buying it. They were saying things like TikTok is a weapon of the Chinese Communist Party. They're using it to spy on Americans, to manipulate what you see. They also spoke, and this was quite interesting, they also spoke about its impact on young people in terms of mental health and some of the dangerous challenges that the platform promotes through its algorithm. And the TikTok CEO kind of had some answers to that, but in a lot of ways it was similar to Mark Zuckerberg's testimony before the same committee a few years ago, if you remember that one. He didn't seem that apologetic, and, you know, as you'd probably expect from a mega billionaire who's very powerful. So we'll see what happens now, but I think there's a very good chance that TikTok does cop a ban in the US. The other interesting thing, now, while I was away a couple of weeks ago, you spoke on the show about the protests in France, garbage collectors not collecting the garbage. It's kicked off again.
Yep. Can you believe it? Have you seen the pictures?
Oh, it's pictures. Insane.
It's like a bin fire, literally.
Yeah, the famous old town hall in Bordeaux has been set on fire. More than 1 million people took to the streets across France overnight, and they're all protesting proposed changes to the retirement age, going from 62 years old to 64 years old, which might not sound like much, but the French people are very, very pissed off about it.
They don't want to work. They just want to get to, you know.
They want want to have
un baguette and some brie
and some fromage. Exactly. So there were supposed to be peaceful demonstrations, but there were clashes with police, masked rioters, smashed shop windows, demolished street furniture, attacked a McDonald's restaurant. Teachers and workers at Paris's Charles de Gaulle Airport walked off the job, and of course the garbage collectors just not collecting the garbage. And so we'll see where that goes now. Sport. So this is a fascinating story, Maddie. World Athletics has banned transgender women from competing in the female category at international events. This is something that's been talked about for a while. There's been a lot of rhetoric going both directions. But the sports governing body's president, Lord Coe, Sebastian Coe, said no transgender athlete who had gone through male puberty would be permitted to compete in female world ranking competitions from the 31st of March. And they've set up a working group to conduct further research. Interestingly, he said that we're not saying no forever, but it is definitely a no for the time being. But critics have come out, including female athletes, have come out and said, well, you know, like this is basically saying that we're not good enough to compete against these athletes. We think we are. Give us a go. So I guess we're going to wait and see what happens now. But still probably plenty more to be said on this issue.
The Wild West.
And now, Maddie, do you want to hear about our spirit animal for the week?
Oh, yes. What's our spirit animal?
So, and I'm sure a lot of people will relate this. If you've had a tough week at work and you just want to get out of the office on Friday, take a leaf out of Ciro, the male zebra from a zoo in Seoul, South Korea, who escaped his pen and went on the run around the capital city of South Korea for a number of hours, went through traffic. There's some incredible videos on social media of Ciro the zebra running through traffic on a busy road as people are filming it on their phones, completely bemused that a zebra is walking around the streets. It's Cero, by the way, means vertical, which I guess is referring to the stripes on a zebra, which is pretty neat. Cero also poked his nose into some garbage bins in a residential area and eventually was apprehended, though. Hopefully, unlike people who are leaving the office this afternoon, hopefully they managed to escape successfully. He entered a narrow alleyway where he was penned in and tranquilized before being taken back to the zoo in the back of a truck.
It's bizarre. I've just looked at some of the pictures now. It's pretty, as if kind of a zebra going through Northbridge.
I know. Amazing, amazing scenes. I think some workers might be tranquilizing themselves at after work drinks this afternoon.
Yeah, Sarah just had one of those weeks, you know, where you're just like, I've got to get out of here. I've had enough.
Yeah, relatable.
No thanks.
And that's your news from the West Australian for Friday, March 24. And don't forget to subscribe to The West Live on your favourite podcast player. Maddie, I'll talk to you on Monday.
Yeah, have a great weekend, mate.
You've been listening to The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.